CliffCentral.com.
All right, we're live. CliffCentral.com on a Monday morning. 5-day week this week, so we got lots of things to do, people to see, places to go. And we will be talking to Chase Cohen in a little while about his collection and find out what obsessions there are, what other people are doing in terms of collecting stuff. Also want to hear from you this morning, 0797482090. So here's an email I just got from Bronwyn. And we were talking about the Linfield Victorian House Museum on Friday. And the reason we found out about it is because we were talking about our visit there. And it was incredible. Leanne and the rest of the team, when we were still on radio, we went there to visit this place. And it's really, really interesting. Apparently, the lady is still alive and well. Her name is Catherine. We absolutely loved the whole experience, Bronwyn says. From what I remember, Catherine's mother started the whole thing. She collected things from the 1800s and put together this house museum. She and her mom built a massive doll's house. She said it took them years, and it's basically a replica of the actual house with miniature furniture to match everything. She's so passionate about the Victorian era, literally lives it as you said. She sleeps in the main bedroom of the museum, and my kids were awestruck that she physically lives there, as they cannot imagine cooking in that kitchen or having to climb a small stepladder just to get into bed. Catherine is unbelievably knowledgeable. You should get her on the show. We actually are going to try. Sia's going to try and get hold of her. She has no children to carry on the family trade and keep the museum the way that they intended, so they've actually been in contact with museum people in the UK to take it over when she can't anymore. The home has, the home and all the collections in it must be worth an absolute fortune. Attached are a million pictures that she put on the email. Couldn't get enough of the place. What a fantastic learning experience for the kids. So there we go. Bronwyn filling us in on the missing pieces of our story from Friday.
Love that. Thanks, Bronwyn.
Very nice. Apparently people loved the burning platform last week. I got this email from, Nikki. Nikki says, someone better call the fire department because Pumi and Lito were lighting up the burning platform. I've just finished listening to it and I was blown away. I never usually listen to the burning platform because I find the current state of affairs too depressing, but today I started and I could not stop. So there we go. Some very good endorsements of the burning platform from last Thursday, if you want to go and take a listen to that. That's, of course, brought to you every week by Nando's. You know, that TLC channel, I don't watch it at all. It's not my favorite channel. I skip past it normally if I'm even in front of the TV. It's the last one I'll go to. But that channel is just going further and further into the world of weird. I mean, we've talked about how, for example, they follow around these fat people, and they follow around these people who are, you know, constantly bickering and fighting with each other. They do these terrible documentaries where they get actors to play the role of famous people, and they try to, you know, imagine what it was like in the house when this couple had this argument or whatever. Very stupid channel.
I love it all. I totally disagree with you.
You're welcome to it. Thank goodness there are people like you that keep them in business.
Yep.
I'm surprised by the people who agree to be on the channel. Where too. Do they find these stories? Where do they find these people? Why do these people agree? Look, I don't feel bad. I watch because they hook me in. But who are these people?
A lot of the times they'll gain some sort of benefit from it, whether it's monetary or being put in touch with the right specialist.
Yeah.
So a lot of them are just so desperate for help. And, you know, some people from the public may donate. A lot of doctors step in and say, I'll help you. So there are benefits.
I still get hooked every now and then with returning to Amish, and that's a focus on the Amish people who still live in a very traditional way of life. I was watching a clip over the weekend of these Amish people. This is filmed last year.
Mm-hmm.
These two young girls who were
going to the airport.
Went to the airport for the first time.
That
was a big thing for them.
And they took about half an hour to get onto the escalator because they were scared.
What?
Just
that is just, yeah. That is a big thing.
So they're two Amish girls. They must be, you know, barely 20.
Mm-hmm.
And
also with Amish people, you can't differentiate much with age. I don't know how the lifestyle is that makes the young ones look old or vice versa. I don't know. They could easily be 18 to 80. We can't see the difference.
But so they decide to tell their parents that they've had it and they want to go to live with their grandmother who lives in Florida. So they tell their parents. Their parents say, basically, if you leave, you're not welcome back. Don't bother coming back.
Wow.
So they still decide to take the trip. They get into contact via some kind of communication with a guy who is a public transport guy who's Amish as well and helps people out if they need lifts in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And they get into the car. The one girl has quite a crush on this guy. She's known him for ages. And they get to the airport and they cannot believe their eyes. the camera's on them and they're just looking around in absolute stunned silence. There's so much. I mean, even for us, it's a little bit daunting sometimes when you get into an airport and there's so many signs and boards and advertising and people, you don't even know where to look.
Yeah.
The shame. Okay, so yeah, they take about half an hour to get onto the elevator. They actually get quite pissed off with the whole idea at the end of it, and they say, "Why don't they just, you know, use stairs? Stairs are perfectly fine." And then they get to the counter. I don't even know how they manage through the maze of ropes and barriers.
Yeah.
And they said, "We want a ticket. We want to go on the airplane." And the guy's like, "Can I have your ID?" And they went, "We don't have an ID. We're Amish."
Jesus.
And he says, "Well, I can't let you onto the plane."
Isn't that insane?
He said, "I need some kind of photographical evidence of who you are." Mm-hmm. And that's where the clip ended. And I think it's obviously promoting a show. So I didn't see CNN. I don't know if you looked further to see if they eventually did make it up onto an airplane. But I'd love to watch.
You see, it's like curious to me. So I would probably watch one episode, but I wouldn't get involved in these people's lives, and I don't care if they ever got on the airplane or not. But it's interesting to me that there are people who live such strange lives, like these Amish people who are isolated from the rest of the world, and they don't use technology, and you know, that's really interesting. But there apparently there's this other show called Extreme Sisters. Which is,
yes.
Oh my God. You can explain this better than me because you've actually seen it.
The premise of Extreme Sisters is it follows five pairs of sisters and how close they are, but basically how concerningly close they are. But the ones that have, piqued my interest are these twins, Anna and Lucy. They're 35 years old. And the first point of concern for me was when they described each other as the other's soulmates. They're like, "We are soulmates. We are meant to be together. We do everything together." They're 35 years old, still dress alike.
Oh, boy.
And they love each other so much that they share a boyfriend and share a bed. If that is not concerning, then I don't know what is. That is borderline incestuous, and just
that's not
book yourself healthy. Into an asylum.
Yeah, it's not healthy. I mean, obviously, you know, they probably again were raised in some isolation, or they haven't been socialized properly. Because I get like close relatives and close siblings and whatever. That's good. That's probably healthy. But man, when it gets to a level where you're sleeping in the same bed as your sister, and you're best friends, you're soulmates, and you never talk
sharing
to anyone.
Sharing a boyfriend. Harris.
Sharing a boyfriend. I'm sorry. That's just ridiculous. I don't buy that for a second. I think that's nonsense.
I can share a bed with my sibling. That's fine. I don't want to share my just saying it.
No, that's not good. I think that there are probably also, you know, these shows have opened up a world of mental health issues to the rest of us who didn't know that there were people like this. I mean, most of us think because we're fairly normal, right, that everybody's normal. The world is full of crackpots and nutcases and crazies.
Yep.
You're not normal. You think you're normal, but there are people there are people out there who are way more normal than you, and there are people out there who are way weirder than you. Just a disaster zone.
It's the whole thing of seeing other people in situations that makes you feel better about your life, right?
Well, I mean, that's some of the reason I love going onto Instagram is that. I mean, you know, I've told you about that woman with those enormous, enormous, enormous tits who I follow on Instagram just because she's got the most incredibly bizarre life. And she's got these breasts that are easily the size of – each one is the size of one of those, you know, those world globes that you – you know, you can, it's on like it's on a stand and you can turn it around and all that. Each of them is as big as that. And she plays the piano around them and all kinds of stupid stuff. And I wake up some mornings and I'm scrolling through Instagram and I'm like, wow, this woman's life is just so weird with these enormous big breasts. And it's so important to her that she has these big breasts. I mean, she posted a picture the other day of what she looked like before them. And she was actually quite an attractive woman. She clearly got addicted to the idea of plastic surgery, and it's such an important part of her identity now that she has to have these huge, huge breasts that everything else comes second and third and fourth to her. Weird, wild, insane. And then, you know, you follow those people. They're also those people you follow because they're just – they're not all there. There's a screw missing. The lights are on, but nobody's home. And you follow those people just to kind of feel grounded and normal about things. Because sometimes we all give ourselves a hard time, right? We're like, I shouldn't have done that. Or why did I think that? Or what have I done here? Or you give yourself, you know, very low points in life for maybe the way you've handled situations. Or, you know, and then you look at these people on Instagram and you're like, nah, I think I'm okay. I think I'll be all right. Am I being unfair? I mean, this really is how a lot of us feel. Don't you think? Leanne, you're on mute.
Leanne, you're muted.
Ah, damn it. Sometimes it can be motivational.
You know, we even stopped keeping track of how many 10 rand you should have put into a jar by now, because it's not even fair on you at this point if we're to charge you.
Yeah, the swear jar.
So obviously feeling depressed and lazy sometimes, it can really help watching a Dr. Phil show where a guy hasn't left his bed in 2 years because he's so depressed and his mother has to feed him.
Right.
You know, it makes you think, I can actually do this. I'll get up and shower and clean the kitchen and, you know, do my tasks and my chores.
Correct. Yeah, life's so not so hard.
It can be motivational. Yeah.
That's what I mean. You know, we were talking about it's going to be May when we were talking last week about May the 1st. So this came up on my Facebook today. It's a picture of Brian May, and it goes, and once again, May is here.
That is quite a mop of hair.
Yeah, Brian May,
yeah,
sure.
Always.
Brian May,
and now it's white. And now it's silvery white.
Silver. All right. What else is going on in your agenda this morning? See ya, Leanne. What's on your page to be discussed today?
So I quite like looking into the dating habits of people during difficult times, like during COVID. So yeah. There are actually quite a few terms that have come up, which label the situations that we find ourselves in as daters during quarantine and the pandemic and lockdown.
Right.
And what's quite interesting is that there is something called COVID cuffing.
Cuffing.
And yeah.
What is that?
That sounds violent.
It does sound a little bit sexual, yes. But it's also a lot of information which dating sites have been able to put together. And in finding what people are looking for during these times. And there's definitely been an increase in the number of people who are no longer looking for casual hookups, but are looking for longer term relationships. And the thing as well is that a lot of people want a lot of people have been kind of forced into these relationships or been fast-tracked into these relationships where they would have progressed naturally another way. So, for instance, you know, in our country, lockdown hasn't affected us in as big a way as it has in parts of Europe.
Yeah.
And a lot of people heading into lockdown were at a point of their relationship where perhaps they weren't living together yet. And yet they decided that they would become lockdown buddies or it would be called a quarantine fling if it wasn't going to last.
Well, here's the problem with that is I know we discussed this right at the beginning of the pandemic and lockdowns and all that stuff a year ago. Can you believe it? A year ago. And the thing that struck me was that there were some people who had just started dating or they just started getting to know each other. And then they decided, oh, well, what the hell? We may as well go into lockdown together. And one or two of them, it worked out really well. We all know a story of how it's, you know, it's turned out for the better. But many other stories where it's gone much, much worse because people honestly don't know. They're not sure how to deal with this stuff. And it's such a bizarre and artificial way to live, especially in that first stretch of lockdown. And when I say, can you believe it's a year ago? I mean, a year ago today, we weren't allowed to exercise in public. We weren't allowed to walk. And then they opened up that window between 8 and 9 where you could walk the dog or you could go on a bike or whatever, but you had to mask and you had to stay away from other people. And do you remember all those rules? It's only a year ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, for some people, their relationships took huge strain. And I know marriages that broke up during lockdown, and I know of other people who did get together during lockdown. So, you know, it really varies depending, obviously, on the situation for each person in each situation, in each set of circumstances.
And so now there are a lot of people who are realizing it was maybe just a quarantine fling. And because it was such a scary time as well, people were driven by the fact that they just didn't want to go through it alone. And they wanted someone to be with them during that time, which I completely understand. I wouldn't want to put it into practice on my own, but I do understand. And it also reminded me of at what different stages we are throughout the world we're at in terms of either wearing masks or not going to the store at all. And one of the crazy things that I watched over the weekend was a TikTok live, which was just this guy who had obviously propped up
his phone.
He's a shopkeeper, and he propped up his phone at the till.
Yeah.
So the camera was facing all the people. It was like to us, it would be a convenience store.
Okay.
Just at the garage.
Right.
And just this endless queue of people on, I was watching it live, so it was 3 o'clock in the morning for me, but obviously nighttime in the US.
Yeah.
And people were stopping by to get their beers as they do in the US, which you can get from your garage. It was so interesting to see that there was only one person out of about 100 that I saw who was wearing a mask. And the other thing that was interesting was that people really don't have money. They were scraping together coins to buy just one beer.
Sure.
Their cards were being declined. It's it's a scary situation. They're trying to have a normal Friday night, but just the stress of buying one beer because they know they can't afford it is high.
God, that's horrible.
That is so horrible. Pretty grim to watch at 3 o'clock in the morning, but interesting nonetheless and quite addictive.
Yeah, I don't know. Where do you think we're going to go after all of this? I mean, now we've been through this really weird year, and I know dating is really difficult because I've got friends who are actively trying to date at the moment, and it's tough. It's tough out there trying to find someone. I mean, we always, you know, we talk about Bulelo and Ben and, you know, all the guys on the show. But I'll tell you what, there are people out there who are having a much more difficult time than any of them. And I don't know whether this is going to change humans and the way that we interact with each other forever, or whether it's just a blip on the radar, whether this is just this very strange once in a lifetime kind of event. and it we'll all just go back to normal after this. We'll just go straight back to where we were before. People will meet each other. They'll go for dinners. They'll have drinks together. They'll go on a coffee date. They'll go to movies. They'll do all those things that we used to do and have normal interactions. Or if it's all changed forever, I don't know.
I think we'll think that we're back to normal. And we'll just kind of adapt and get on with our day-to-day lives, not analyzing anything too much. But I think if you look back in history, there is going to be a big blip on the radar where things were changed in society and in dating practices, relationships, marriages, divorces. Mm. I mean, look how it's changed working from home for enormous organizations that now have these massive buildings which are 1% full. When we look back, in decades' time, when we look back, we'll see statistical blips, I'm sure.
Yeah, I feel sorry for people who are really trying to like find someone. If you're in your 20s right now, it's very hard to find like a good match. I mean, you could use these apps and things, but I don't think that works very well. It doesn't work for everybody, and those are more. That's more, in my opinion, just like a hookup thing. If you actually want to meet people, though, where do you go? What do you do these days to meet people?
I have no idea. What? I don't know.
Yeah, well, this is where I'm pleased that I don't actually want to be in a relationship now. And if that changes, obviously, if that changes, I wouldn't know where to start. But it kind of works out for me that lockdown, I loved, and I know Andre says here he loved it as well. I loved lockdown. I had all this time to myself. I didn't have to leave the house. You know, in some ways it was like a dream. But if I were the kind of person who wanted to be with someone, my God, it would have driven me crazy. I would have gone seriously down the tubes.
You remember going on holiday with your parents, for instance, when you were in high school or varsity?
Yeah.
And how frustrating it would be if you were in the part of the holiday town which wasn't the cool part, or they didn't want to go to the cool beach, or they'd avoid the main road, cool road,
because
there was too much traffic. And you remember how much you craved that, and how much you craved being able to walk down a street and possibly bump into you with a group of girls, and there's a group of guys, or you know, that you might end up meeting them and having a holiday romance. You think of that absolute desperation, and the thought of going to bed at 9 o'clock at night would actually put you in an asylum.
Yeah, you'd go crazy.
So I'm very glad that I wasn't at that stage of my life during lockdown. That's for sure.
Mm.
But I also feel like we're very resilient as people. And as much as so much has changed over the last year and a bit, we also adapt quite quickly. And yeah, I wouldn't say we adapt quite easily, but we adapt quite quickly.
Yeah.
To think that, yes, there was that time that feels so foreign to us now that we would, you know, be allocated time to walk our dogs and gym. But we got used to that so quickly. Mm. And then as soon as that was over, we moved with the times. And, you know, remember, I don't know if you guys went through this proper, proper extremist way where you would carry your sanitizer and even put gloves on and then put sanitizer on top of the gloves, and then you double mask and then go out to the shop. And then when you come back from the shops, you would wipe all of your groceries down. And how we move and adapt very quickly. So I think even now, yes, there's this curfew that still doesn't necessarily make sense. And once they lift that, we'll move on.
Listen,
we'll
adapt. On that note, can I just ask quickly, because I don't know for sure, but has the government's state of disaster been extended, or are we just carrying on and no one's made any announcements? Because it was meant to have expired on the 15th of April. And if it hasn't expired, then why are we still bothering with all of these rules? And if it has expired and government haven't told us that it's expired, why doesn't Cyril just go on TV and say, okay, guys, it's over? There's something odd about that. I want to know what the answer is.
I kind of feel like I've missed the memo.
Yeah.
And I put it down to the fact that I'm just not that interested anymore.
Maybe.
And Maybe it has happened, but I never noticed it.
Sorry, Leanne, I didn't mean to cut you off in mid-sentence there. I want to just get on to our collectomania this morning, because this is something we've been talking about all morning, and now we can finally get started on it. So this is something we look at once a week, and last week we actually spoke to my brother, of all things, about his collections. And the week before we spoke of all people, because, well, I mean, listen, he had a lot to say. He had some interesting stuff to tell us. And this morning we're going to speak to Chase Cohen, who is a sales consultant at SA Gold Coin Exchange, and he's also a collector. So we're going to find out what he collects. And this is pretty amazing, because you could collect anything. You can collect stuff that is valuable or stuff that just fascinates you. And Chase is with us this morning to tell us about what he collects. Hey, Chase, how are you doing, man?
Morning, everyone. Well, thanks, and yourself?
Yeah, good. All right, so Chase, first of all, welcome to the show. It's nice to see you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly. What is it you collect?
So I collect pretty much anything creepy crawly. I've got a boatload of tarantulas, scorpions, quite a large snake collection, lizards here and there.
Oh my God.
Anything creepy crawly, really.
God, no.
Can I just ask, you're not going to show us any of this stuff, right? Because if you are, I need to go away.
So I did anticipate for having my collection in the background this morning. Unfortunately, I had a few things to do this morning and work out quite the way I had planned. But I was anticipating.
Thank goodness.
Okay, so basically you've made Leanne's day by saying you're not going to show all your crazy collection. I mean, so when did you?
Not a big fan.
No, she.
No, don't get me wrong. I have arachnophobia, but anything else I'm very interested in, and I love snakes, so I'd be absolutely fine with snakes.
All right, so Chase, let's just talk about you for a second. When did you start collecting, and how did this all begin for you? Where are you actually from?
Shucks. So I was born in Durban, mm-hmm. I sort of got hooked on the sort of snakes and spider scene at a very, very young age. My uncle, Kyle, he's always been into that. He used to go snake hunting as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And when I was born, he sort of invited me into it. He took me out on my first snake hunt. And, you know, we saw all sorts of things, from centipedes to lizards and snakes and spiders. So was really, really great, and I got hooked ever since. Caught my first snake on the first hunt that we went on, and then my sort of that was at 8 years old, and then my first tarantula was at 10, and I've just been hooked ever since. I'm 23 now, so it's been 13 years following and looking after animals. So my collection has grown quite substantially, but. I've just been hooked, and I can't wait to increase my collection further. It's not going to stop anytime soon, that's for sure.
Now, Chase, there's a huge difference between collecting things like I collect books or coins or any of that stuff, because those are not alive. You don't have to keep them alive. When you have collections of living things like you have to feed these things.
Yes, there's obviously a lot of work that pertains to keeping the collection, but I think that's part of the passion. I thoroughly enjoy cleaning my tanks and feeding my animals. So, you know, I think it's all just as someone would polish and clean their guns, I look at it the same. just polish and clean my.
Well, I'm just looking at this. I'm going to put up a picture quickly of some of your stuff.
No, please, what? No, I can't.
No, Leanne, just the room.
Right, Leanne.
It's just the room that he keeps all the stuff in. It's amazing. I mean, look at this.
No.
Look at all those tanks. That's phenomenal, dude. That's in your house?
Yeah, it's actually in the back section of the garage.
Wow, it's incredible. How many different animals do you have there? Have you counted them up?
Shucks, I stopped counting quite a while ago, but if I have to put a number to it, I would say over 60 tarantulas. I've got a collection of probably about 10 very, very venomous scorpions.
Wow.
Quite a selection of snakes and other reptiles. The tarantulas are definitely by far the most impressive, just because of their sheer numbers. Mm. But I definitely have some beauties that I'm very passionate about in my collection.
Leanne has actually moved away from the camera, so she doesn't have to see it. But tarantulas are beautiful, beautiful creatures. I mean, what's the biggest one you've got there? How, is it as big as the palm of your hand?
So it's actually bigger. She's a Kluge bird eater. She's probably almost the size of a dinner plate right now. Just a few more molts and she'll be there. But she's definitely bigger than the palm of your hand.
That's amazing. All right. So when it comes to feeding these creatures, you obviously have to keep a whole lot of stuff. You have to buy up and make sure that you've got all the equipment. And then, you know, you have to clean these tanks, as you said already. It sounds like a full-time job. How much of your time does it take up?
Quite a lot of my time. I won't lie, the tarantulas are very, very low maintenance. They're quite territorial animals, so they don't like to be bothered terribly often.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of feeding and sort of watering, that is quite a lengthy process that happens every weekend. So I got my work cut out for me, that's for sure.
Unbelievable, dude. And you catch these snakes. Do you have any dangerous snakes? Any really, really poisonous ones? Really deadly ones?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've got a few mildly venomous ones, exotic snakes that I obviously don't need any permits for, but very life-threatening, though.
Right.
I think the most dangerous snake I've ever owned is a pup, but there were a few issues around the permit with that, so, you know, going around the law, I just sold the snake on. So
hang on.
Yeah, she was definitely my most potent.
What was that? Because you broke up when you were telling us what kind of snake it was?
Oh, shuck, sorry. So the most venomous snake that I've ever had is a puff adder.
Oh, okay.
But there were a few logistical issues with the permit, so I got rid of her.
Oh, that's not a nice animal to have. So listen, I think this is just amazing. Don't worry if you've been struggling to hear Chase. We've been trying to boost the sound on this side, but we'll fix that all up in the podcast and you can catch up later. I think this is the most amazing collection, and I reckon you're probably one of those people who, you said you're what, 23 now?
Yeah.
So you've got lots of time still, and obviously you will spend more and more of your time and more of your money in the next, you know, 20, 30 years adding to this collection. It's just going to grow and grow and grow. Do other people like it? Are your family happy with this? Are your friends happy with this? Or do they think that you're a bit weird?
Okay, so first of all, you're absolutely right in saying I'm going to throw more money and time into the collection. I'm hooked and definitely won't stop anytime soon. In terms of my family and friends, I don't have a lot of supporters, I won't lie. Obviously, my uncle, the guy who introduced me to it all,
yeah,
he gets his jaw sort of drops every time the collection increase. But in terms of my friends and other family, they don't really like it, but it is a good conversation starter for when you walk into the home.
It's amazing, dude. Listen, congratulations. I love that there are people who are collecting all kinds of things, living and dead, and the fact that you've got all of this going on is just awesome. So there he is, Chase Kerwin. He's got spiders, he's got snakes, he's got all kinds of creepy crawlies, and that's his obsession. Mm. I love it. What an awesome thing to do. Thanks, dude. Nice to see you.
Thanks, guys.
Cool. Very good, Des. Chase Kerwin. How's that, Leanne? Now you can take a big deep breath. Leanne just went through. She just went through what you remember that guy we were talking about in the cash and transit car earlier. That dude who was huffing and puffing and having a really tough time. His adrenaline was flowing. He was trying to drive carefully when those guys were shooting at him. Leanne has just had the similar experience just from hearing about spiders.
Yeah, I had to take my headphones off and take a little bit of a walk around the house, obviously with my arms closed tightly against my body. Oh, you see, cat just walked past and I shut my eyes.
Spiders of any kind, of any size?
Yes,
that's just
the S word.
Oh, okay.
Amazing.
Perhaps we wouldn't even talk
Very
about
Very difficult.
It.
Very difficult, and it gets worse with age, I'm afraid. But yeah, so there we are.
See, I reckon a guy like Chase could probably charge people money to come and see the animals, because you think about it, people go to zoos and they go to reptile parks and they go to all these places, and he's got spiders the size of a dinner plate. I mean, some people will pay money to come and see that.
But then what were we speaking about earlier about breeding wild animals in captivity and getting people to pay to see that? Yes.
That's lions. I mean, insects, I think it's slightly different. I used to, whenever we went to a zoo or a snake park or anything when we were kids, I would get home and want to build my own immediately. be like, let's capture some stuff and put it in little tanks. And obviously I was crap at it, so I never really got to do it. But I love this stuff. So listen.
I've never had an inkling. I've never wanted to. Just thinking about the, I wouldn't even be able to rest comfortably in a house knowing that even in the garage in Chase's case, it's right.
No, Gareth,
Leanne, it's just a, it's his very.
No, can you not? All right. Can you not see what's on the glass in the foreground of
very
the image?
Very neatly organized collection that he's got going on there. I love that. That's great. You've got to display these things properly, too, if you're going to have them, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Mustn't be disorganized and chaotic. And he seems very organized with all that stuff. I love it. So we're going to find out what your obsession is. And if you have collectivism or collectivity or collectionitis or whatever you want to call it, an obsession with objects or spiders or whatever it might be, if you're a fanatic, a devotee, or an aficionado, you must tell us about it. We want to know all about what your collections are, just like Chase's this morning or my brother's last week. And you can tell us by sending me an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com. And remember, this is all brought to you by the SA Gold Coin Exchange, which now there's something worth collecting is gold coins. You'd be very happy if you did. And if you haven't and you want to start now. You know, you'd be surprised. There are collector's items that you can get from the coin shop, and they have a number of branches across the country. But you can always just look them up, and we'll put all the links on the page on cliffcentral.com for the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the coin shop. You can find out all about other people's collections by joining us every Monday to find out what people are collecting and how they display them and where they put them and what they have to do with them and how they started and everything else. We want to know your stories of what you've collected too. Ruth says, I respect spiders.
And apart from the fact that, apart from the fact that, you know, coins are cool to collect, they also will make Leanne feel better than collecting other things.
Oh, hell yes. Yes. Absolutely. So Ruth says, I respect spiders. Yes. They're an important part of our ecosystem. We don't know how we've impacted on microorganisms with all our pesticides and pollutants. And that's true. I mean, I'm exactly the opposite of Leanne. I have no problem with spiders at all. In fact, I find that they are the ones who they eat the mosquitoes and the other pesky insects that I'd rather not have around. So when I find spiders, I haven't got a problem with them.
I think people should perhaps try and understand this a little bit better. A phobia is an irrational fear.
Sure.
So my rationality is telling me that spiders are great for the ecosystem. A lot of them aren't poisonous. I'm not scared of having a spider bite. I've had many. I've had ones that have where I've ended up in a doctor's room because and almost been knocked out with antihistamines because it was so bad. I really have no problem with that. I know it's not going to eat me or kill me. It could kill me if I was in Australia, perhaps, or the more dangerous ones here. Yes. But those are not the problem. I have a problem with the image of a spider and creatures with 16 legs. Because that's what it looks like to me. So it's an irrational fear. I know it makes no sense, and I do respect them.
No,
I just cannot have them around me.
Yeah, I'm the same irrational fear of lizards. I mean, you know, what a stupid thing to be afraid of. Everybody's got some fear, and I think it comes from childhood, or it comes from someone telling you a story when you're an impressionable age, or whatever it might be, and then it never gets out of your head. Unless you then sit down with a therapist and they actually help you face your fears and work you through it. That's probably what most of us never get to do. But it is cute.
So not me.
I'm just pleased that there are people who are collecting and looking after these things. And, you know, some of us who want to stomp on them, but the people who actually look after them, good for them. You never know. And this, you know, we don't know, but Chase might end up being the biggest collector in the world one day. This is, you start off small and you end up huge.
It actually reminds me of the last time I saw my nephew, who's now 9 years old, and he's going through that typical boyish, I want to kill or capture everything in my path. And it's so, because, you know, my father is such a, just a quiet gentleman. I didn't have any brothers. So this is the first time I'm encountering this like visceral, just masculine energy. And I don't know how to actually deal with him now. Whatever, there's a bug in front of him. He's like, and I'll throw something at him. I'm like, what? What is going on?
Yeah.
Or there's a bug, then he wants to see it up close. He wants to like grab it from the tree. He wants to just like play with it in his hands. He wants to bring it back into the house. Now I'm like, stay away from me, you little weirdo. I jokingly said to my sister, I can't talk to him up until he changes out of this process. I'll talk to him in 4 years' time.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned earlier, just to wrap up on the collections, I mentioned earlier that I went on Saturday to a place in Johannesburg called the Collector's Treasury, which really it is exactly that. It's just endless piles of books and shelves full of books and rooms full of books and stuff piled from floor to ceiling. And you find some incredible things there. And that place is a bit of an institution in Johannesburg. You have to wear a pair of gloves and a dust mask, though. Trust me, otherwise you it's just not the place you want to find yourself. And avalanches of books just everywhere you look. Incredible, incredible stuff. So I think, you know, like anything, these interests and hobbies can very quickly turn to obsessions. And you can become a bit weird. People will start to look at you strangely, as we've discussed a number of times.
A little eccentric.
And like you think you're at the tip of the iceberg, and I'll just show them my little collection of butterflies. Next thing you know, you've got three rooms in your house that are entirely devoted to this, and you've stopped using your bathroom because you need extra space.
That's your party trick.
All right. Very good. We're going to take a couple more messages and emails. You can get hold of us on 0797482090. Tell us what you're up to this Monday morning. We've got the TV show to record today, Sia. We're back in studio after we didn't have to go last week. And with that public holiday on the 27th, I've mentioned already that I don't think we're going to get June 16th because isn't it also on a weekend? Just have a look quickly, because that's the next public holiday, and I don't think we get a bonus day there. I think it's a Saturday.
Smack in the middle of the week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
All right, good.
I have a public holiday today because of the UK company that I work for. It's a bank holiday in the UK.
Very nice, Leanne. Look at you.
Yeah.
I don't even think a lot of people noticed that we had a public holiday since it fell on a weekend.
Mm. Yeah, I was talking to someone who was completely oblivious on Saturday. They were like, huh? Oh, sorry, I didn't even know. Anyway, it was our birthday as well. We turned seven, cliffcentral.com. So I've said this on the show. I said it last week already, but, you know, a big thank you to everybody who's been there from day one. We would not be able to do even a tenth of what we have over these 7 years if it wasn't for our incredible audience. The clients that we have who are just the best ones you could possibly imagine, the extended family, our team, you know, everybody who's kept the wheels turning all of these 7 years. It's just such a great story to be able to tell 7 years down the line, and we're just going from strength to strength. So let's see what happens next. Onward and upward, right? Very exciting. 7 years in the mix.
Very cool. Nice.
Yeah, if it was a baby, it would be going to grade one now. No, we've raised a child.
What? Is that how school works now? I was five when I went to grade one.
But you were very advanced, Leanne. You were a very advanced child.
I think grade one is seven. I think that's when you enter. But so. You know, one doesn't note how much they change in the moment because you're living it. Mm. But over the weekend, as the team was sharing memories and photos of our birthdays over the years, you really realize, we have all changed.
Yeah. Grown up, and some of us have not just grown up, we've got old. But I can't believe it's been seven. It doesn't feel like 7 years. I mean, it really does. I can still remember that first show and all the nerves and the fact that we were on TV as well. It was really a totally new thing. No one's ever done anything like that before in South African television and radio.
I don't know. To me, that feels like a lifetime ago, which is really odd.
Really? No, it feels like just yesterday. Unbelievable.
I like the comment from Basit Sana, who says, been with you guys since day one. This is my longest relationship.
Yeah, that's about right. Mine too.
Yeah, I had lunch with Ben over the weekend as well.
Oh, yeah. How did that go?
He made me realize that we have been doing this, and it is more than a fifth of my life. When you put it like that.
Gee whiz.
Unbelievably scary.
More than a fifth of my life has been here. So I don't know if that just says how long we've been doing this or says how short my life is. I haven't figured it out yet.
Well, for those people who are obsessed with cryptocurrencies, and it's been a bit of an up and a down journey for the last little while. Well, certainly there have been a lot of ups and downs, let's put it that way. $58,000 this morning again, and Ethereum at $3,099. So if you are in crypto, you're excited about waking up this morning. That's good news. Since it is a full five-day week, we've got lots going on. We want to know from you what's on your mind. And don't forget that if you've got any ideas for collections, then you must let us know about that too on email. Gareth@cliffcentral.com is the email address that you can send it to. So I found out that apparently this is this is a headline I saw on the internet the other day, and I looked it up, and it turns out to be true. If you're 18 years old, you can actually adopt a 17-year-old.
That is so bizarre.
Isn't it weird? So what? If you're 18, you can legally adopt a 17-year-old as your child, even though there's only 1 year's difference between you.
Okay, obviously there are two parts to this scenario to consider. So let's look at the first. How are you able to adopt at the age of 18?
Because you're legally an adult. So you can actually adopt a child, and a child is legally anyone under 18.
Yeah, I suppose the chances of an 18-year-old being able to adopt someone are quite low because they have to be financially stable and all the rest of it.
No, you see, like in many families in South Africa where, say, the parents have died of AIDS or something, and the kids have had to raise themselves, or the granny's been raising them, then the eldest sibling will very often adopt the younger siblings, or, you know, someone helped them to arrange that legally. But they've probably been in charge of the household anyway for most of their lives up to that point. But it's a very weird thing to think about, because there's a part of me that understands it the way I've just explained, that, you know, that in some families the eldest sibling has to take on the responsibilities, blah, blah, blah. But the other part of me is like, what ridiculous situations could you imagine where, like, one of your friends that you're in matric with, one of your friends who's in matric is like, he turns 18 first, so he adopts like three people in the class that are his mates because they're only 17.
Yeah.
Hey, they can sign for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sign
on the friend's behalf. That's actually a bit of a business.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it could easily be two best friends, and perhaps the one has a really horrible family life and they want to get out of it. And, you know, I kind of imagine going to my mom and saying, please, can I help Sally because she's going through a terrible time? Please, can she live with us? And my mom saying no, and then you turning around and saying, well, I'm 18, actually, I'm adopting her.
It's not Sally anymore, it's your new granddaughter, mom.
Yeah, you congratulations, you're a granny with your daughter is only 18. I think that's pretty wild. But if you think about it, it is just a stupid scenario. It's, you know, you have to legally have a cutoff date for when someone is an adult and when someone is a child. And if you're 18, you could probably legally adopt a 17-year-old. Something to think about.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are stranger families than that before, and they're probably all on that channel that you and Leanne have, that TLC channel. I'm surprised there isn't a show called I'm 18, I Just Adopted a 17-Year-Old.
You're probably giving them an idea right now if they're listening. Don't be surprised in 6 months' time when that's a thing.
No, they've rolled out their brand new show. Don't say you didn't hear it first here. Right. Lots of lovely messages from people. Hadmin says, you guys should have a birthday party with all the day one fans that stuck with you. Surely you know more or less who they are. Oh, yeah, we will, but I think it should be an online one. You know, the people who've been listening to us from day one are from all over the world. And you know this, we've spoken to so many of them during the course of these 7 years. So we have people all over the world who have been part of the Cliff Central family. And it's just great to know that there are fans of ours who've stuck with us for 7 years, and we haven't chased away in 7 years. That's pretty cool. Tracy says, is Cliff Central 7 in human years or dog years? I still remember the first broadcast that went live on DSTV. Definitely human years, I think. Kevin says, well done, guys, on the 7th birthday. Love the show and all the stuff that you discuss and expose us to. And then Gary says on this issue of 1718 and then the state of emergency that we spoke of, so legally we aren't in a state of disaster anymore. So apparently that means we don't have to wear our masks. I suppose the sheeple will wear them until the kingdom comes. But I don't know for a fact, Gary, if the state of disaster is actually over. This is what I'm asking. Somebody said to me over the weekend, a friend of mine, like, can we just find out whether or not the state of disaster has actually run out? Because if it has, then it's really, I think, quite cheeky of the government to not tell us that we are out of lockdown, because technically that's what it is, which means the end of curfews, means the end of all the mask mandates, means the end of all of that stuff. I mean, you can obviously still carry on doing that if you want to. No one's going to stop you. And there are many people who will carry on wearing masks and would prefer that there's sanitizer everywhere. And that's entirely their right. But if it has ended, then why haven't they told us?
Peter messaged earlier to say the state of emergency has been extended until the 15th of May. So there are various reports one would need to check.
All right.
I was going to cite that as well. According to Business Tech, this is an article that was released 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago, Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma announced the extension of South Africa's national state of disaster by a further month. In a gazette that was published on the 14th of April, Dlamini-Zuma stated the state of disaster will now continue until the 15th of May, 2021.
Okay, so keep extending it month after month. All right. Well, that's fine. Doesn't change my life. Very little's actually changed in terms of that. But I do wish we could do without these masks. As I said, I went out on Saturday, and I probably only put it on as a show, really. You know, you put it on when you walk into a restaurant, you take it straight off again. You put it on when you get into an Uber, and then you ask the driver, and if the driver doesn't mind, you could take it off. So it's all just a show. I mean, I don't wear a mask 24/7 like other people, and I don't have to in my work, thank God. So it's really only when I'm traveling around or when I walk into a place, when I walk out again, that I have to put it on. So to me, it's really not making much of a difference now anyway. It's kind of ridiculous. Gary's upset, though, that it has been extended. He goes, damn, in terms of all of that stuff.
Excuse me, Gary.
I know.
Bam.
All right. Well, that's all we got time for this morning, everybody. So we will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an excellent day. CliffCentral.com has got lots of great content for you through the course of this afternoon. And if you didn't listen to the interview or watch the interview that I did with a flat earther, you might want to check that out today as well. You might find him really interesting or really annoying. It's totally up to you. But the idea there was to just hear what this guy has to say. And he's totally convinced that the earth is not round and that we've been lied to. That's his position. Yeah. So you might want to take a listen to what he has to say. All right. Thanks, everybody. We will see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.